Hello and welcome back to Let's Grow Girls, your favourite cut flower podcast. Probably, maybe. So, Nicole, final week.
Final week, final episode. Episode 10 for anyone that was counting and didn't hear me say episode 9 about 15 times in last week's episode.
That did happen, yeah.
Well, I can't believe we've even done one episode, but to have as many as we have had, and we've hit some milestones this week in terms of the numbers, haven't we?
We have. 50,000 downloads.
50,000.
And I know that's probably boring, but we're like baffled. So thank you to everyone for your support and all your reviews. We love them. And all your comments and your messages and even your emails. So thank you so much for your support. We are so excited to be part of this little flowery family.
And this was kind of a bit of a lockdown hobby for us, wasn't it? That has turned into something that we've both absolutely loved doing. So you're not getting rid of us just yet. We're here to stay a bit longer, I think. I hope.
Enough of the boring waffle. Nicole, what have you done?
What? I don't do boring waffle.
Never.
Well, not all the time. Yes, what have we done this week? What have you done this week?
I planted some liatris outside in my front garden.
Exciting. Like bulbs or...
Yep, so they were bulbs, but they were last year's bulbs. So I'm not entirely sure that they're going to come up. So I will report back on that one. And I planted up some dahlias.
You're early.
Thank you. I know, right? I'm never early. I'm always late, actually. But there's a few varieties that I haven't got many of, so I'm potting them up and hoping to take cuttings.
That's exciting. We always like more dahlias.
I know. I love a dahlia. And what else? Oh, my soil blocks are looking very sprouty. I've had full germination of my celosia. Not to brag, but I'm kind of bragging. And I've had full germination of my gomphrena, and also my snapdragons are getting there as well, and my clary sage is looking magnificent.
I need to start my clary sage. I was a bit slack over the weekend. I had a really tough week in the day job, so I did absolutely nothing this weekend, which is a bit shameful at this time of year because there's so much to be doing. But my nigella has finally germinated, which I'm really pleased about. I've had to put it on a heat mat, though. It just wouldn't germinate in the greenhouse. But I'm coming for it. I'm excited.
You it's tell happening. That nigella. Yeah, you tell mm-hmm. it. And did you start your white mignonette?
I haven't, but I'm going to get on it this weekend and get sowing some more stuff because, well... It's mid-March. Mm-hmm. Stuff has to start happening.
This is the
and
time.
We've got lots of stuff that we're going to be covering in the grow along when we start in a couple of weeks. So I just want to make sure that I'm up to date with everything that needs doing before then. So I am ready for those annuals.
Ooh.
Ready.
But Nicole, I think we need to stop avoiding the elephant in the room.
Which is?
That we have Sarah Raven on our podcast.
Very excited. Oh my God, that noise I just made, by the way.
That's staying in. So this week, as I'm sure you can tell because you probably saw us talk about it on Instagram or in the headline title, we have a gardening god on today.
Sarah Raven, legend of flower growing. Oh, wow. Wow, that was
I was doing your
background
music.
That's an intro she's never had.
I was doing your background music. Carry on.
It was distracting. You could have given me some warning.
It just felt right.
Well, back to the matter at hand. Sarah Raven. For all our UK listeners, you can't be a cut flower grower and not know who she is. And... I'm sure all of our American listeners know who she is as well. She's an absolute legend in the cut flower world here in the UK. She was doing it back when it wasn't cool to do it.
Way before it was cool.
And she has brought all sorts of wonderful varieties to our gardens here and is just, well, I don't actually think I've got words to describe like what a legend she is in the gardening world.
So, over to past me to introduce other Sarah. So we are so excited to welcome Sarah Raven, writer, cook, broadcaster and teacher, an expert on all things you might want to grow, cut and eat in your garden. She is also, in our opinion, responsible for bringing dahlias back into fashion in Britain, something we are all now incredibly thankful for. Is there anything you don't do, Sarah?
Yeah, lots of things. I'm not very good at reading a book.
Can't sit still.
So, no, I'm not very good at going to yoga. I'm not very good at doing lots of things, but I love growing to cook and growing to arrange. Yeah, they're my two big things, really.
Your garden is Perch Hill, isn't it? That's the name of your, is it the name of your property or the name of the garden?
So I live here. So it's both. So it's in East Sussex. We're just inland between Hastings and Tunbridge Wells. And it's sort of quite high country, very wooded, lots of oak woods and very, very heavy clay soils. So it's not ideal for gardening, but it's very beautiful. So we fell in love with the place rather than, thinking I was going to set up a business here, really.
And how would you describe your garden?
So it's very much concentrating on production. And so there are 8 or 9 areas, I think, now. And like one is a rose garden, one's a herb garden, one's a sort of veg and salad garden. We've got 3 cut flower gardens and then
oh, wow.
2 areas just for sitting in. But we don't do that very much. They end up in trials, really, because that's sort of mainly what we do here is that I trial with the gardening team here products as in plants that I find in other parts of the world. So COVID allowing, I'm normally traveling quite a lot. I spend a lot of time in Holland and places like that, Belgium, America, looking for new varieties. So I sort of cast my net wide and then I bring things back here and we trial them for a year or two to see whether they're really easy to grow and really reliable and really beautiful. And then if they fit all our criteria, they then get photographed with a photographer who I've been working with for 25 years. And they then go into our range, our mail order range.
How's it been to be a bit grounded this year? How have you found it?
I'm sure with lots of people, very much pros and cons. I definitely love traveling. I really do. It sort of broadens my mind and I like being creative and it definitely gives sort of juice to my creativity. So I found that quite challenging. But on the other hand, I've loved being able to be here and seeing the garden change every day for a whole year nearly now since lockdown, basically, the first lockdown. And particularly last spring, as I'm sure you had the same, we had the most wonderful, wonderful weather. And every day new tulips were coming out. And actually just today, I have an Instagram account where I try and do an arrangement of a new lot of flowers that have just come out that morning. And I've actually been unbelievably busy the last 3 days and I haven't managed to do it for the first time since January the 1st. But today I went out and I've done it again and there's a whole lot of new things just beginning. So the first scented narcissus has come out this morning.
Oh, wow.
And so it really does feel, thank goodness, that spring is around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Just can't wait to see some colour in the garden again. It feels like it's been, I don't know whether it's been lockdown or what it's been, but it's felt long and grey.
And we were snowed in until so we couldn't get out from last Saturday until 2 days ago, so we've been snowed in for
that's incredible. I bet
days.
You don't get snow like that very often.
Well, funny enough, because we're in this place where we're sort of at the top of a hill and then down another hill, so unless you've got a Land Rover you can't get out normally about once a year for a few days, but we haven't ever been not for 20 years been snowed in for a solid 10 days. Yeah, I love it. Although the garden hasn't loved it, I have to say. Walking around a few things looking a bit sad.
A bit unhappy, yeah. But going back to your trial patch, this probably isn't a question I should ask, but I'm going to. Is there anything in your trial patch at the moment that you're extra excited about?
Always. I mean, because that's the great thing about trialing. is that there are some totally brand newly bred varieties there. So they will literally be doing their first emergence. And so it's always incredibly exciting. But I think probably fritillaries this year are my thing, even more than tulips. Ooh. So last year we did a small fritillary trial and, you know, the big imperial ones. And we did them for containers. But we found that they had such an architectural presence really from sort of the beginning of March until May, because the seed pod is as good as the flower. So we're doing quite a big trial of imperial fritillaries this year. And the reason that people are a bit shy of them is twofold. One is that they're quite expensive. But what we found is I planted some when I came here 25 years ago, and they're still coming up. So they are expensive, the outlay, but then they're incredibly perennial. They're there forever. The other thing is that they have a slightly odd smell. Some people say it's like foxy onions, so that's not very nice, is it? But, just one stem in a vase on the middle of a table just looks so glamorous and spectacular, and they look fabulous in the garden.
I can't wait to see what comes out of your trial then. They sound amazing.
Yeah, they are really amazing. But anyway, and then we've got, I think, 67 different tulips. They're not all new, but they're new to me or new to us. So there's probably about 22, 25 that have been bred for us with me working with breeders. And the others are just new onto the market, but they're not, you know, exclusive to us. They haven't been bred for us. But yeah.
And you love tulips, don't you? You've got such a selection available.
Absolutely. Yeah. So
do you have a favourite, or is that too much of an ask?
Yeah, I think probably if I had to choose one, it would be Ballerina, which is the very tall, elegant orange, which has the scent of freesias. It's amazing. Yeah. And it's got a really good cut vase life, and it's got, it's very perennial in the garden. So again, we've had Ballerina coming up here for 10 or 15 years.
Yes, adds another thing to the list.
Yeah, it's a great one. Yeah.
It's getting a long shopping list, that's for sure. So on to the main topic of this episode. We have dragged you here, Sarah, to talk to us about chrysanthemums, something you grow really well and really beautifully. Could you maybe talk us through the basics of how you grow your chrysanthemums?
Yeah, I've always loved championing things that are out of fashion, but they're good plants, but they're just things that people are choosing not to grow because they're just sort of not in some way trendy or whatever. And and certainly for me, when I started, it was annuals, which just, you know, 30 years ago, no one was really growing very much. And then it became dahlias, which just were such giving plants, yet they weren't fashionable. And certainly the chrysanthemum for me is one of in that category that people have this sort of prejudice that they're from the garage forecourt and that they're in the cellophane wrap and they're sort of granny flowers. And they couldn't be further from granny flowers because they've had such amazing breeding in the last 10 years, quite a lot in New Zealand, but also, again, quite a lot in Holland. And now you get these ones that look like amazing ascot hats on Ladies' Day. You know, they're just crazy, like sort of fascinators. And they come in really sophisticated range of colours. So they're not just the sort of oranges, yellows, you know, all that. They come in incredibly beautiful, subtle, smoky colours now. And the reason I love them is that they flower in October and November. Anyway, back to your question. Sorry, Sarah, I got
I loved that. Carry on.
So what we do is we tend to take cuttings in March or April from our stock the previous year, or we'll buy new cuttings in from a range that we'll be trialing. And so they come in literally just like either literally just stems and we do the cuttings, or they come in with a little tiny bit of root. And they're incredibly easy to root chrysanthemums. We just put them around the edge of a black pot in a gritty mix of compost on a heated bench, and they'll have rooted in 3 weeks, no problem. And you get a sort of 95% hit rate normally. They're very, very easy. Mm-hmm. They want to root for you. Then we'll leave them in their rooting cells for about 3 weeks, and then they get potted on into a 9 centimetre. And then we plant three rooted cuttings into quite a decent sized pot, so maybe a 5 or 7 litre pot. And then in the garden, we either literally just dig a hole and sink the pot in, Or we might plant them in, but in a clump of three. And that's what we find is you just get a more bushy, lovely thing rather than getting sort of almost like licorice all sorts of lots of different varieties. If you put three in one, you get a really nice big bulb plant. And then what we do, because we're lucky enough to have a greenhouse here, we lift out our tomatoes, which have been in the same size pot, in maybe the first or second week of October. And then we lift the chrysanthemums from the garden, and they then go into the same holes where the tomatoes have been. And they don't have to be brought inside, but what we find is it's too cold and wet and windy here, so that these complicated, beautiful flowers get trashed in the weather. So just by bringing them under glass, it just means we get longer picking season. And then the wonderful thing is, so the tomatoes stop cropping and then we start picking croissants. And as I'm sure you know, they have a vase life of 3 weeks. So we then put them in a clear vase normally with a drop of bleach or vinegar in the water. And that stops the bacterial buildup. And so you don't get that horrible smelly slime, but also it keeps the capillary action working so that the stem, they anyway will last 2 weeks, but that will make them last 3 weeks in water.
So when you've moved them back into the greenhouse for their winter season, do you take cuttings from those plants?
So we'll harvest the flowers from them, and then again, sort of up towards Christmas, we'll then lift them again and put them under the bench in the polytunnel and just dry them out completely and give them a dormant period. And then we use the greenhouse to then grow winter salads and winter herbs all the way through until March and April. So we've always got a changing crop here under glass so that we really make the most of the undercover area. And so then those plants that we've lifted and put under the benches in the tunnel, or they then are used as our mother plants. So we then take cuttings from those. And we used to, in a trial we did about 5 years ago, we then planted the mother plant and her babies and compared them. And we found that the babies did much better and produced better and were healthier than the mother plant. And unfortunately, that, you know, dahlias, that's why they are just my heroines, because you don't need to do that. You know, you can just, they'll just go on year after year. But what we find with the new breeding of chrysanthemums is they just tend to get a bit of virus, and it weakens them. They don't all, but there does seem to be a tendency. And so what we found is, as I say, the mother would succumb to something, whereas the daughters would power on and be better and more productive.
That sounds quite interesting, that would happen to the mother plant. You would think that would stay the stronger stock.
I know, exactly. And it's annoying. And I'm sure with ongoing breeding, they will be bred to not get that, you know, because it's obviously not ideal. But of course, what we have to remember is most of the chrysanthemums on the market at the moment are bred for commercial cut flower growers, and they're bred for a sort of monocultural nursery. And I'm afraid to say the chemical regime that is used in those sort of places is quite intense. And so, of course, because we're not using any chemicals here, you know, we're more likely to get problems. Yeah. So they maybe are still not, those ones maybe are still not ideal for the home gardener, but there are so many that are, you know, there are so many varieties. There's a whole range, a new range called the Tula series, T-U-L-A. And we did a big trial. We did a small trial of those 2 years ago, so autumn 2019. And then autumn 2020, we expanded that right out, and we had 10 different varieties of this Tula family. And they were absolutely incredible, and it seemed to be very healthy and seemed not to be succumbing to anything. So we left them in the garden, and we're hoping that they're just going to perennialise and, you know, they'll just come up in the borders.
Are they quite a spiky variety?
Yeah, they are. They've got almost like needle petals, but there's such a beautiful range of colours. From acid green to a soft green, but then also into the browns and mahoganies. And I love those sort of coppery tones in cut flowers because they're so rich. But and they're beautiful in the autumn.
And this is going to be my first year into chrysanthemums. I've never grown them before. And I have to admit that I absolutely fell in love with Avignon Pink.
Oh, it's a beauty. Yeah, yeah, it is. It's absolutely beautiful. So that's sort of, apart from the tulips, that would be the one that I would most recommend to people. It's this amazing, isn't it? It's not Barbie doll at all. It's this really gentle, beautiful kind of oyster pink, isn't it?
It kind of reminded me of, like, I think this might even be how you've described it on your website, as kind of like a sister to Café au Lait.
Yes, yeah, it is. It's such a gentle colour, and it's slightly varying in the plant, which is also so nice. And it's got a really lovely twist and turn to its petal. You know, that's what people think of chrysanthemums, as the yellow disc in the middle and then the whirl, a very almost plastic looking flowers. They're just not like that anymore, you know. They couldn't be more... They've moved on.
We had an American guest on a couple of weeks ago, and we tried to explain to them, because I don't think they have the same stigma attached to chrysanthemums in America as we do here. And we tried to explain to her the whole garage forecourt thing, that it's like a petrol station flower. And it just was an alien concept. But I think that is really what people think of them here. And when you look at Avignon Pink, it couldn't be further from that plastic wrapped.
Yeah, so true. It's so true. It's gorgeous. Such a stylish, beautiful thing, isn't it? Yeah, but and that's really the way chrysanthemums are going. I mean, you know, there's going to be more and more Avignon Pinks, and even better. And, you know, because florists and cut flower growers are so keen on them, that the breeders are really putting money behind them now. So there's going to be lots of exciting new ones. I remember... going to visit a very wonderful, wonderful florist in New York called Sai Pua, who had an incredible workshop in Brooklyn. And I remember walking in there, and she was doing this great installation for the Met, for the museum there. And she was basing it on this extraordinary sort of browny, oyster grey coloured chrysanthemum, which was half hideous and half incredible, you know. And I remember thinking, well, if Sai Pua is doing it, chrysanthemums are going to be hot to trot in 3 or 4 years. And sure enough, they are. So I've just written a book, actually, and I've done a whole section on chrysanthemums.
It'd be a great opportunity to mention your book now. Would you like to tell us what it's called?
Yeah, it's actually coming out next week, I think. It's called A Year Full of Flowers, and it is basically about a year here, so starting in January, moving through to December. And in each chapter, I highlight my real favourite plants for that particular month. And I suppose it's me trying to get people to see that if you concentrate on it, it doesn't all have to happen in June and July. You know, there are really beautiful things that you can have in January and February, right through to November, December. And so, of course, that's where chrysanthemums come in, is they're in the November section. And also, I don't want it to just be about the inspiration, but also very, very practical. So each chapter is divided in the front into the highlighted plants, and not too many. So it's really sort of trying to aim at people who aren't seasoned gardeners. But then the back of the chapter has exactly how you grow, what you should be doing to grow that year-round selection of things. So it's both practical, but also full of ideas, I hope, for people to sort of broaden out the things that they might not have thought of growing.
Well, that just sounds like a fantastic book, Sarah. We often get asked for book recommendations for people just starting out in the garden and long-term gardeners, and it sounds like the perfect book for everyone.
Yeah, it's sort of very much aiming. I have two daughters who are in their late 20s, and they're just sort of beginning to get into gardening, but they don't know very much. And it was quite useful having them in mind as I was writing, because, you know, I don't want to expect them to understand the language and everything. Mm-hmm. It was really fun to write, and using photographs over the last 25 years of having the garden here. So there's sort of some pictures, you know, are literally 25 years old, and some were taken not last week, but the week before we went to press, which was last September. Yeah.
One of our listener questions was about pinching chrysanthemums. Oh, yeah. Do you pinch yours?
No. Well, we do very early on. So when they're cuttings, we pinch out the tip, and that will get them to branch, and it'll get the... What pinching does is it removes what's called apical dominance. So rather than all the hormones, the growth hormone, concentrating in the tip of the plant, by removing it, you get a scar. So the growth hormone goes down into the base of the plant and pushes out the root and then the axillary buds. And so you get a sort of short, stocky thing rather than a tall thing. But chrysanthemum growers who grow for competition pinch again. And that's because they don't want the side shoots. They just want the biggest bloom possible at the apex. And we don't do that second stage pinch because actually I prefer having more plentiful flowers that are smaller rather than have the absolute prize massive bloom. One. So I'm not trying to win the local horticultural competition. I just want stuff to pick, basically.
And then on a similar topic, do you disbud your chrysanthemums? Or again, is that a show grower's?
No. Yeah. No. So we don't do any of that. So literally we'll just do the cuttings into three cuttings into a pot, into the garden, and then pick, pick, pick. And that really is it. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Really, really simple, at least.
So I've got a podcast like you have. And Arthur Parkinson, who I do my podcast with, both of us are fanatical about chrysanthemums. And I, you know, I think they are the new dahlia. But as I say, they're a little bit more complicated in that you do need to take new stocks every year.
Ooh, go on. Tell us about your podcast.
So our podcast is called Grow, Cook, Eat, Arrange, and it's between it's a conversation between me and Arthur. So just like with you two, it's nice to be able to have a chat, isn't it, rather than just sort of pontificating one person. And I've known and worked with Arthur for 8 or 10 years now, and he's in his 20s, I'm in my 50s. He's a man, I'm a woman, and the reverse are the differences too. But and so we've come from very different places and very different ages, but we both love the same things, including chrysanthemums. So anyway, in each show, we actually pick an edible and an ornamental, and we just chat about, because he's not very keen on his food, so I try and convince him to eat delicious recipes, and I give the recipes, and he talks more about the flower arranging side.
I read in an interview that you did a few years ago that you don't actually have a favourite restaurant because you prefer to cook yourself. Is that true?
I'm not sure that's true anymore. I think probably my favourite restaurant is a taverna in Greece where it costs about £5 to eat all night, you know.
Oh yeah, that's the stuff. Yeah. And then one question we always ask our guests, and it's a bit of a big one, and it could be anything, but if you could give our listeners one piece of advice for the year ahead, what would it be?
Grow, cut and come again, salads and herbs. So get yourself a decent depth of pot, ideally a water trough, because they're the cheapest way of getting a decent depth, like a 2 foot depth, so 60 centimetres. And you can get them from a farm supply shop. The bigger the better. And you can either direct sow or plug plant, you know, whatever. Cut and come again, salads, herbs and lettuces. And you can just pick from that for 3 month stretch and then sow again and then sow again. And you can sow in spring, you can sow in summer, and you can sow in autumn to pick all the way through the winter. And I always think if I was sent to prison and I was allowed to take a few packets of seed to feed my wingmates, it would be a packet of mixed salad leaves, because I would then allow some to run up to seed, harvest their seed, and I would have an ever perpetuating healthy meal to feed everyone on my wing with me.
Oh, what an image that's conjured.
There's an orange jumpsuit, some salad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You'd definitely be running the place if you were in prison though, right?
I don't know about that.
And whilst we've got you on the show, Sarah, I think it would be remiss of me not to ask you what your absolute favourite dahlia is.
Ooh. Ooh, it changes. I would say at the moment it would be a dahlia called Lou Farman, and we bred it, and it's named after my business partner and second to Sarah Raven, of course, but that is my current number one favorite. It's a single. It's very glamorous. It looks like a huge butterfly, and the butterflies and bees absolutely love it. It cuts well. It's just a really superb brand new dahlia. And that is certainly right now my number one.
And thank you so much for your time today, Sarah. We've absolutely loved having you on the show. It's been amazing. Great talking to you. And we can't wait to get our hands on your new book.
Very nice to meet you both.
So, Nicole, I think that one's going down in the record books.
Definitely. I still can't believe we got to interview Sarah Raven.
No, not because of that. I don't think any guest is ever going to give us that answer again.
I mean, that was brilliant.
Salad. magnificent.
That was brilliant. And I mean, I know we're a cut flower podcast, but I'm definitely getting those salad leaves ready.
I mean, colour me influenced. I'm ordering some seeds.
We're all going to be growing cut and come again salad now. But don't ask for us any tips. You've got to go to Sarah for those. And another thing that I'll definitely be growing, never mind the salad leaves, is mums. I need them in my life. I know I've already ordered the Avignon Pinks, but...
You have, yes.
I feel like I need more now.
But do you know what else I think everyone's going to be growing after this, Nicole?
What's that? Mums?
I mean, chrysanthemums, obviously. Why did you ask?
I was just setting the answer up for you.
So kind. That's what friendship is.
Well, that's what I'm here for. We're a double act, you know.
Oh, are we?
We are.
I never thought about us like that. Oh my God.
I think that is probably a good thing we're on the podcast, because otherwise we'd have to work out like who stood on what side, you know, like Ant and Dec.
Who does stand on what side?
They always stand on the same side. I just don't know which side.
No, I mean, out of me and you, I Bagsy the left.
Left as I'm looking at you, or left as you're looking at me?
I don't know what you mean. But if we're on the TV, the right.
Slight change of subject, but back to the mums.
What varieties are you hoping to grow?
I am super excited for those Avignon Pinks. Ooh. They just look gorgeous. I cannot wait to have them. But I did also, I mean, I guess one of the things that that excites me the most about mums, or Xanths, as some people are calling them now for shortening. Xanth,
correct.
Is the fact that you could have flowers at Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I seen on the Sarah Raven website that there's those chrysanthemums for Christmas collection. So I'm very tempted.
Oh, is there?
Yes, there is.
And she, this isn't sponsored, even though it kind of sounds like it is, but she has some amazing collections. There was like a pinky collection of chrysanthemums. So if you don't know which varieties to go for, it's a good place to start.
Yeah, I love her collections because they start you off without the panic of what to grow, if that makes sense. Mm.
But don't blame us, because once you're on Sarah Raven's website, you're probably going to spend like £1 million. And that is not our fault.
I've been blamed for money being spent this week enough, thanks to my Instagram promotions recently. And not even promotions, I wasn't even paid for any of them. But it's a time of year when you want to buy garden stuff, isn't it? What else have we got to buy in lockdown?
I love how you're making yourself sound like a saint for enabling people. You're like, I wasn't even paid. But what was I supposed to do?
I did wake up to about 50 messages this morning of people telling me they'd either bought a cold frame or a new rose. So I apologise for the enabling that happened this week.
I love
sorry,
how
not
different
sorry.
Those two things are. They're so different.
All gardening related, but you know.
That's very true. So you've ordered your...
I've ordered my Avignon Pinks because are you gonna order any more? Well, the Avignon Pinks are like super sellers, and last year I hummed and hard about it and left it too late, and then it was too late to get any. So I ordered mine in like November or December, and they don't even get dispatched till May. So I've been really early with them. And like I said,
I wonder if they're still in stock.
I think they are at the moment. But obviously, us being the enablers that we are, I worry that once this podcast goes out on Friday and we're recording today on Tuesday, you might be standing
Don't give
out
away
work.
How last minute we are, Nicole.
We're not last minute, we're current. We're current. So I would get a move on if you want those Avignon Pinks. Don't hang around.
Yeah, get in there. Get in there. Pronto, pronto. I'm now, after Sarah's advice about cuttings, I'm staring at mine, which is still sitting, my plants, which are still sitting in the polytunnel, because I've been too lazy to move them or do anything to them.
Well, you're going to have to do something. You've got all those tips. You know exactly what to do with them.
I know. Dig them up, take some cuttings.
Definitely. And for our American listeners, you obviously can't buy from Sarah Raven because she doesn't export to America, but King's, we have been told, is a very reputable site for mums in the United States, so definitely check them out. Also, not sponsored, but we did a little bit of homework before we came to the podcast today, so we could point you in the right direction.
Check you out, Nicole.
I know. The one that I would go for if I was able to order from America is absolutely gorgeous. And it's called, why do I always pick the things with the names that we can't say? Go. It's called Seton's J'adore.
That's not that hard to pronounce, Nicole.
I know, but I feel like when I say French things... that I sound like
you
Del
did
Boy.
Say it with real flourish.
I did. I tried to say it like, as French as I could. You know, like the J'adore perfume advert. That's what I was channeling.
That's what I was gonna say. You sound like you're in a perfume ad.
That's what I was channeling. Yes, but that is the most Avignon pinky looking dahlia that I've ever seen in America, and
oh,
I would.
So it's in the same family?
It's not. I did check this with a friend of mine who grows mums. And it's Avignon Pink's like a magical special one that just Sarah Raven has. But this Seton's J'adore, I believe, was originally an Australian mum exported to America. But it is gorgeous.
Look at you with all the info.
I know. Well, come on. We've wanted to grow mums for how long?
I mean, I already grew a year's worth.
I know.
You're on your own.
You winged it.
Oh, yeah. I just bought them and plonked them in the ground and hoped for the best. But I still grew them.
True. But now I feel like we've got some knowledge thanks to Sarah. Mm-hmm. And I am raring to go with these bad boys.
Mm-hmm. And if you... Well... And even if you're not in England and you can't buy your chrysanthemums from Sarah, like she mentioned, she does have a new book out, which I'm sure is available worldwide. And you can find her on Instagram. And her Instagram is very interesting.
And there's a whole section in her new book dedicated to growing mums. So if there's more stuff that you want to learn after you've listened to today's episode and it's given you a bit of a flavour for growing them, then definitely check her stuff out. And if you are a seasoned xanth grower, then hit us up. We'd love to know your tips. So either pop them on one of our Instagram posts, DM us, or visit the Facebook group, because I am sure there's going to be some mum chat in there.
All the mums chat. Sorry, xanths. All the xanths chat.
Yeah, I feel like xanths is a bit cooler. We hope you loved the episodes. We did our absolute best to find topics and guests that we thought you'd find interesting. And judging by all of your lovely comments, I think we did all right, don't you, Sarah?
We try our best. And we're so grateful to everyone that's come on the show this season and shared their wisdom.
So a big thank you to all of our guests. Let's do a little round of applause.
Okay. I hope everyone's joining in from their bathtubs.
I love the idea of the splashing going on in the tubs now.
Oh, don't say that.
Thank you for sharing that with us. We absolutely love that you're listening in your tubs in the attempt to get away from your children, who are now hopefully all back at school. Thank you all so much for joining us in season 2. We will be back with season 3 after just a short week's break. We are doing a grow along, and it'll be a little bit different to how the first 2 seasons have been. And rather than having an interview style format, we will have guests joining us to talk about what they're up to in their gardens this week. So we'll be able to share with you what we're doing, what they're doing, and what you can do in the garden this week.
Oh my God, so well sold. I love that. Nicole, the saleswoman.
Well, every now and again it comes out.
I know. But as always, we would love it if you could subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. That made sense. And leave us a review if you fancy it. We love them and they help us lots to reach more people.
So after all that excitement of an episode with Sarah Raven, we will love you. I know. So we're going to love you and leave you. You only have to deal with the Let's Grow Girls withdrawal for 1 week, and we will be back.
And then we'll be back.
Then we'll be back with a very exciting 3rd season, I hope.
And we will see you there. Bye.
Bye.
I'll be back.
I was thinking of that same thing.
Just me?
My favorite line is, get to the chopper.